My name is Perdita Weeks, and you're listening to In Anything at the Minute.
Hi, my name's Jonathan Harden, and you're listening to the Honest Actors Podcast. This is episode 4 of series 2, and what has to be one of the most teased episodes of a podcast in the history of podcasts. This is the full version of the interview with Perdita Weeks, which has been out twice in the past as a teaser, both for series 1 and for series 2. So many of you will think, I recognise that girl's voice from somewhere. It's from this podcast. Before you listen, I should say that I am extremely relaxed in this interview, and to explain that, I will add that Perdita is one of those people who instantly makes you feel like you've known her forever. I worked with her for 2 days about 4 years ago and find myself just, you know, chatting to her like I'd known her all my life. And the same applies with this interview. She has a very unique, I think, perspective on the industry, having been an actor since she was only 5 years old. So that in itself I found fascinating, and I think you will too. Before that though, here is a word from our sponsor. If you want great offers on theatre tickets, access to day seats on your mobile, and exclusive front row lotteries, you need TodayTix, the ticketing app that lets you see theatre differently. To get tickets with no queues and no fuss, download TodayTix now on the App Store and Google Play. One more thing before I let you hear the interview. As many of you will already be aware, I am currently crowdfunding for a short film that I hope to direct myself early in the new year. It will be my first time directing anything for the screen. It's a script written by my wife, Bruna Taggart. She will also be playing the lead role. It's a boxing film set in Belfast, and you can find out more about it and the crowdfunding campaign at belfastboxingfilm.com. Perks on there include, for £5, which is roughly equivalent to the cost of a central London pint, you can get mentioned in this podcast at this very point in the next episode, and I will say thank you to you personally if you do that. But there's loads of other stuff as well, and like I say, it's my first time directing. It's not my attempt to take over the world. We're just a couple of actors trying to make some work for ourselves. So if you were able to support that in any way, and that could be just sharing it on Twitter or on Facebook, we would be in your debt. So thank you in advance. Here it is, episode 4 with Perdita Weeks. So tell me, how did you get into acting?
I got into acting very young, not really on purpose. My sister, my elder sister, Honeysuckle Weeks, who is still an actress, she was spotted at a children's youth theatre in Chichester Festival Theatre by Sylvia Young, the children's agent, and was taken on by her. And my brother and I, who are very close in age, we're a lot younger than her. And my mum, having to take my sister into the agency, Sylvia saw us, we were kind of cute, this is when we were about 5 and 6, and said, oh, we'll have them on the books as well if you can be bothered to bring them to auditions. And my mum was like, sure. She worked freelance, so she had the time, and she just sort of went from there, and we did adverts and often together. We were very cute and got a lot of work, and then it just sort of, we moved on from that agency to a slightly older one, and just sort of kept going, really, from agent to agent. It was very much thanks to my mum, really.
And so does that then become, is that stage and screen, or is that just a screen kind of?
It was purely film and television. I've never done any professional theatre, as much as I'd like to.
And noted. Did everybody hear that?
So I would love to do some professional theatre.
So what's your first memory then of being in front of camera?
Oh my word. What is my first, God, it's some terrible advert. Oh yeah, we did a personal advert when we were, it's one of our first jobs, my brother and I together.
Okay.
Age 5 and 6, and when you went to auditions at that age, it was great because we'd get out of school, my mum would come and pick us up, and we'd get fed Coca-Cola and Kit Kats, which we weren't ordinarily allowed, on the way up, so that we would peak in kind of sugar high by the time we got in there. I mean, there would be thousands and thousands of children, like there always were thousands outside these auditions, and we go in and they say, all right, okay, how about you like sing us a song? So we had these songs that we'd sing from Disney's sing-along songs. Got a Whale of a Tale was a favorite. And Yeah, and so we would always kind of get these funny parts, and it just involved kind of being cute in front of the camera. So we kind of grew up with it. It wasn't something we ever really chose to do, but.
Do you remember that Purcell ad? Let's. I mean, we're not going to dwell on this for too long. This isn't going to be an interview about you aged five doing a Purcell commercial. Do you remember much about that?
Yeah, I remember everything about it. It was, you know, going into makeup, costume. We went to costume fittings, trying on various sort of Laura Ashley numbers. And my brother being a right little arsehole, which he continued to be until he was about 15, on set.
Okay.
My mum having to cut. And there was always standby kids. They were always like, you know, in the industry, when they employ children, they always have backup kids. So there was this kind of rival set of children that we were always kind of thinking, what are you doing here? But, you know, it was fun, and we were cute, and it's basically just playing around on camera, and it consisted of my brother constantly getting these pair of yellow dungarees dirty, and our beautiful sort of on-screen mother, who must have been about 25 earlier, younger probably, and, you know, washing the clothes and it being, oh, Purcell's wonderful.
And from your perspective as a tiny child then, was that enjoyable? Did that make you want to do more? Or were you aware that it was something extraordinary?
Yes, I think in a way, but obviously because you're the centre of attention, which is unusual, and adults are speaking to you, which you don't usually get, you know, as a small child, and they're talking to you quite sort of giving you direction, which is quite strange, right? Now you have to do this. But, you know, it came quite sort of easily, and I think because there were two of us, it was easier. My mum was there, and she's sort of quite calm, and, well, yeah, we just sort of got on with it. It's odd. It didn't seem that strange. And then we just sort of went on and did more.
And was there a point at which there was a awareness kicked in that this was potentially who you were, that this was a career, that this was something you might do beyond childhood?
To be honest, that didn't really happen until I was about 21.
So until that point, it's just something that's in the background.
I just sort of always did it. I really enjoyed, you know, I was really glad that I did it. It kind of kept, like, I hated being institutionalised at boarding school. And but knowing that any day my mum, I might get a notice on the notice board being like, oh, your mum's coming to pick you up at 2, you got an audition this afternoon. It was always just like, I'd always run past the notice board and just pray that there'd be like, oh, your mum's coming at 3 or whatever. It was just a great excuse to get out of school. And as I got older and older, it became an even better excuse, and I'd, you know, be able to skip lessons. And
was there a kind of, was there a flip side to that when the ads came out? Was there ever a kind of, did you suffer much at the hands of your peers when the things were aired?
Yeah, like a little bit. I mean, I had my hair dyed a really carroty orange for one film I did when I was about 9. And I got called, you know, carrot top, whatever. But I mean, it didn't really go, you know, because I was just like, well, fuck you guys. I get to leave school and go and hang out with, you know, adults and travel and stuff like that. So I mean, I was aware that it was a privilege, but it was so odd when you get sort of handed something like that. You know, I really wasn't even. It was never something I wanted. I wanted to be a fashion designer or a hairdresser when I was young, and then I went to wanting to be an art curator after university. And it was only when I got when I read a specific script when I was about 21, that I suddenly went, bloody hell, this is a brilliant, you know, this is a brilliant script. This is the best thing I've ever read, and I actually really want to be in this. Because before that, you know, you're playing slightly ineffectual, kind of smiley, you know, nice posh girl, and it doesn't, you know, it's like whatever. There's nothing to really get your teeth into. But when I read that, it was The Promise by Peter Kosminski, and I thought, I've got to be in this, by hook or by crook. And then it was a kind of realization, like, oh my god, I've got this amazing job that I've had all this time, and I really need to, like, focus, try and make something of it.
So, is that the first job where you felt like you were an actor going into it? Did that change anything about how you? I mean, you'd been so used to being on set as a child, or as you say, you weren't aware of really what it was. It was just a thing that you did. Once you have that kind of, I really want to do this, and I've got this great job. Mm. The next thing you do after that, there's something within you
Completely.
Change.
It completely changed. It was the whole project was very. It was quite a political piece, and it was it's about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and it was something I knew absolutely nothing about really, and it involved doing a lot of research, and I just revelled in that. I actually really, you know, quite sort of studious. I enjoy kind of research, and it was great to have something that I could learn, and that, you know, learn a bit of Hebrew because I was playing Israeli, yeah, and after that, I just approached everything completely differently. I worked so hard on that. I mean, we worked hard. For the auditions, I had to learn 17 scenes, which was kind of insane. At the time, I was doing like a really bizarre horror film, which kind of just was exhausting, but and very hard work, but in a very different kind of, you know, it just involved being sort of terrified. But this whole idea of being able to put a kind of studious hat on the whole acting thing, I really enjoyed.
The kind of thing that they say about these interviews is that they don't tend to focus on details of jobs, but what I like to do is say to people, if one thing you've done, it seems like I already know the answer to this, but if one thing you've done as an actor was to stand for you, for who you are as an actor, what is it? I suppose the question is, what's the thing you're most proud of?
Oh, goody. I think actually that particular piece, The Promise, I think it might be one of the best things I've been in. I'm not 100% proud. You know, I think I could have, you know, if you go back, there's a lot of things you would have done differently. You
just mentioned there watching yourself back.
Mm.
And hinting at it being occasionally not the joyous experience that one would sometimes hope for.
No.
So when you're watching yourself back, have you always been a critic?
Yes.
Even when you were a child, did you watch anything?
Well, no, I mean, I didn't give two...
Money's in the bank.
Fooks, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it wasn't even that. I mean, I had no idea, like, how much money I was making.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, cool, I didn't have to go to maths, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I got out of geography. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm very, very critical. I think most people probably...
Do you think that's an important thing? Do you think that process of watching yourself and being critical is helpful or not?
I'm trying to get less so, because it's because my entire family, you know, they say, like, whenever you go to ADR, you know, it's the first time you really get to see it, and it's a just terrible shock, mainly because I'm like, oh my god, look at my crow's feet, and because the vanity kicks in, and it's a massive screen and you're very close to it, but I'm trying to get less critical, because, to be honest, what's, you know, to other people anyway, less vocally critical of myself, because I think it's annoying for other people as well. But like, at least you're in it, you know what I mean? Doing well, you got paid, stop complaining, you know, it's fine. And also, if I'm always complaining, you know, they don't take me seriously anyway.
And do you find it easy then to take compliments?
I don't know. I mean, from one's loved ones, then you just kind of don't really. It's terrible, isn't it? But you just think they're being nice. So.
But you've got two siblings who are.
That is the thing. I have to say, from my brother, if he tells me it's good, I mean, he's my most kind of honest critic. If he tells me it's good, I'm quite sort of quietly elated. But equally, you know, generally that doesn't happen.
Generally, he's very quiet.
He's not quiet. He'll tell me, you really overacted there, or you need to stop smiling so much, or that's a bit of a nose twitch there, or you know.
And do you find those negative things? Do you find you dwell on them the next job? Do you have those words
absolutely.
In your head?
100%. And my dad's always telling me, oh, you just about got away with, you were just about thin enough, but you know, you don't want to put on any more weight.
And then, of course, that's everything you can think about.
No, actually, because he's always been saying that. So I just sort of say, oh, fuck off.
Good.
Baldy.
Do you enjoy the process of auditioning?
I love it.
What is it about it that you love so much?
It's the performance. I absolutely love it. I mean, unless you get like a really I'm not going to name any names, a really shocking casting director, of which there are several kicking about in London, yep. who just make it so difficult. In fact, there are a couple of people like I refuse to go and see. I'll just do a self-tape. Obviously, I say, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't, you know, I'd love to, but can I do a self-tape? Just because they're so distracting. But no, I love auditioning. It's so much fun, you know, you're getting to do the job which you say that, you know, is your job, so it's great, I love it.
Talk to her about casting directors being a distraction. Do you know when you've come out of the room that you've got the job?
No, that's the thing. There's been a couple where I'm like, nailed it, it's in the bag. But equally, I'm generally overly optimistic. So I'll walk out and I'll be like, I've actually sent text messages to my agent being like, if they don't cast me, they are fools, I tell you. And then I don't get the job. It's really embarrassing. But I figure, you know, fuck it, you got to have the courage of your convictions. I've got to, you know, at least believe that I think I'm, you know, halfway decent. If you put the work in, you know, you've done your best. But you just never know. I mean, you know, it can be so sort of disappointing. But it's always the same.
And so. What kind of, you obviously get feedback occasionally. What's your least favourite feedback to get? Do you ever get things, is there something, a refrain that you hear and you think, oh, for God's sake?
You know, posh.
That upset you.
She's a bit posh. But I mean, it's true, so what can I do? You know, I have RP accent, what can I do? What is my thing? What do I not like? I used to get, when I was younger, I don't know whether the casting directors were actually saying it, but I had a previous agent, a female agent, who we actually parted on quite bad terms, and she used to tell me, you mustn't go in there being so dappy. You're very sort of ditzy and all over the place. I'm like, fuck you. And I'm just trying to be nice to you. I don't know.
We'll just assume that I'm like this.
It was incredibly irritating and patronising. You know, I understand why she said it. She was, you know, I'm sure she was trying to help and further my career, but I just found it incredibly irritating.
And after you've got a job,
yes,
5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 2 days later, what are the things that start to niggle? Because everyone has, do you have that kind of panic of crisis of confidence?
Yeah, for sure. You can't bank on anything. That's the thing. I mean, I've had some pretty hairy experiences with, it's in the bag, you know, you've got the part, blah, 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 and then, you know, the project doesn't go or something like this. I've never had one where they've been recast, but you can't say that you've got it until you're on set, you know. Sometimes.
Has that ever happened? Has something ever...
I had a couple of years ago, I had a really, really unbelievably demoralising situation where I got two parts in 2 days. One day I got... And one of them was Game of Thrones.
Amazing.
So I got that. And the next day, I got an even better part, the lead in a series. And then after deliberating for about a week, which was about as long as I could sort of take, I mean, it was, you know, tricky, I turned down Game of Thrones for this other part because it was better money, better, it was just a better part.
I think everyone knows where this is going.
Yeah, and then, I changed so much things. I was organising my best friend's hen party. I, moved to hen party because I was going to be going to Romania for 6 months. I bought guidebooks, three. Started learning a bit in Romania. I'm like, cool, I can do it. I can hang out in Romania, whatever. I can do it. It's going to be fine. My character was going to get killed off after the first, at the end of the first series, which was, perfect. I'm not going to get, it's just going to be the 6 months. It's great. I mean, great role. And it was all cool. And then I was like, it's all looking a bit why haven't I spoken? Where's my, I had a costume fitting and it was cancelled. And I was like, what is going on here? And then a week before I was supposed to go, my agent called me and was like, the Romanians have have taken, have, you know, their finance. They've dropped out financially, and I'm like, well, what does that matter? There's only they're only putting in 10%. I said, well, yeah, they're trying to find it, but if without national funding, you know, the Canadians can't go in there and just, you know, the ins and outs of international production. I'm not au fait with particularly. Well, I'm slightly more au fait now, obviously. Yeah, and it's just sort of vanished into thin air, and I had several conversations with the director being like, we're going to make this happen, it's going to, you know, it'll take us 6 months, but we're going to, and it, you know, it's sort of 2.5 years hence. I mean, I decided there and then I was like, I'm forgetting that ever happened. I'm not going to sit, you know, waiting for this job to get off the ground.
So that decision's made and that conversation on the phone ends, and what's changed when the phone's hung up? Does anything, I mean, is that an easy decision to make? Is that like a clean?
No. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I'm not doing it. I just said within myself. I just went, okay, cool. We'll see. What, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. I just put the phone down, cried. Obviously, I was with some friends as well, which was really awkward. They're very sweet. It was just like, I can't actually believe this has happened, but I just sort of knew, you know, I can't go around thinking, oh, it's going to happen. I have to completely just put it out of my mind. And it's funny because I met one of the other actors who was going to be in it, and they were like, no, it's cool, it's happening in 6 months. And I'm like, no, don't even. I said, honestly, save yourself. Don't be so fucking naive. Like, please, like, for your own benefit, stop thinking about this. No, but I've spoken to the producer. Just don't bother. It was absolutely torturous leading up to that conversation, because I kind of, you know, I felt it was coming. I just thought, I had my bag packed. I mean, it's sad fuck central, like, it was, and then I even called up my agent, I was like, is there any way we can get Game of Thrones back? And he was like, no, it's pretty much gone. I was like, yeah, that was a really sad, desperate, clawing attempt.
Buy tickets to the best theatre in London the new way. With the TodayTix app, getting great offers and access to exclusive tickets has never been easier. With TodayTix Rush, you won't have to queue at the box office for hours to get day seats, and you can access big savings with their lotteries for shows like Kinky Boots and The Bodyguard. Download TodayTix, the theatre ticket app, from the App Store and Google Play, and see theatre differently.
So the friends you were with when that happened, are they actor friends?
No, most of my friends aren't actors.
What do they think about what you do?
You know, I don't really know, because I don't really want to ask them. Because it's possible that they think, you know, who does she think she's kidding? Like, and I kind of don't want to know that. I've always done it, so they were very, very, very positive and very happy for me when. You know, I get a job. I always tell them with glee, I got another job. And that's great. And they, you know, they're interested. They like my actor friends. They find the whole thing really interesting. And they're hugely supportive. So that's the main thing. But they must be a bit in the back of their mind going, why doesn't she get a real job?
And why don't, let's just jump then. Why have you never moved away from acting? What's kept you going? You started before.
Because it's the best job ever. As you well know, it's so much fun.
It's good when it's good.
It's the best job ever when it's good. I mean, it's when it's shit, obviously you're like poor, you got no money, you're bored and depressed, and everything is shit. But when it's good, it's like drugs. It's like heroin. You can't, like, so I've had. Just add that little caveat. It's you know, you travel, you get paid insanely well, sure, for about 5 seconds, but nonetheless, it makes you feel like a total baller. You work with really awesome people, and that's not just, you know, cast, that's like crew, like awesome, awesome people who become your family. It's this incredibly, you know, you're incredibly privileged to even like be on a set, because everyone is just awesome. Like, the people are just really awesome, generally. Very occasionally you meet a total twat, but, you know, aren't they cool?
When you're working then, do you obviously enjoy being on set and being around the film?
Yeah, I love it.
Do you think you might enjoy that more than acting? Have you ever thought?
Oh, my mum said that to me.
Have you ever thought, maybe?
Yeah, maybe I should be on the other side. No.
Have you ever thought about giving up for anything?
No. No, I'll never give up. No, I just don't think I could. It's so much fun. I love the acting. I love the process. I love the audition. I love reading. I love reading scripts. I love all the research around it. You know, I think it's. It suits me very well. I like not knowing what I'm doing week to week. I absolutely hate routine. I could, of course, you know, push comes to shove. I'm sure, you know, I'll be a great secretary. And, you know, I like people. As long as there's other people, I'll be fine.
I should say, though, that you turned up late for this, running in your gym gear. I've totally forgotten. So let's think. You do obviously enjoy not knowing what you're doing day to day.
Yeah,
you might not be the best person to manage a high-level calendar.
No, possibly not. No, yeah, I have the memory of a goldfish. There's other jobs I could do, but no, I'll never go with acting.
Do you believe in a big break? I mean, you've kind of hinted at moments when it might have felt like
you know what? I don't. I really don't. I did.
Did you ever? Yes.
Yeah, I did.
What changed?
You know, experience. Friends, experiences, of course that is such a thing, but I think it's very much more, I don't think it really happens so much in England. It's very much more, I think it can happen overnight in LA, but I've been doing it for such a long time that there's no chance of me ever having that because I'm old news. All the casting directors in London, you know, have been seeing, some of them won't see me because they see me still as like, you know, a 9-year-old kind of posh bird. So certainly not for me. I think it can happen, you know, I mean, there's many, many instances, but it's not the kind of thing that I'm not really looking for it, but and I think it would be quite scary. I don't know. I read like interviews with like, you know, the teens that do the kind of big franchises, and it just looks terrifying. I mean,
would you like to be famous?
I've often wondered about that, and it's I think I find it a bit much, like. I mean, look at my bedroom. Can you imagine, like,
so what's
this ginormous sort of fishbowl window? People sort of, no, I don't, I'd
what's
hate to be followed.
Then?
The ideal is like being respected and known within the industry. I think that's a whole other thing. I think that's, you know, look at, say, like a Gina McKee, like a Maxine Peake. These are not household. They are, to some degree, if you really know your stuff, but you know, if I said that to some of my friends, they wouldn't know who. They'd be like, oh, I know, looking at her, they'd know who it is. But people who just do really, really good work and have their pick of projects and are able to get stuff off the ground that maybe, you know, if they give it their seal of approval, do you know what I mean? They can get behind really good stuff.
So when you're not working then, that's the flip side, the negative. When you're not working,
99% of the time.
What do you do to stay positive? What kind of things keep you sane?
Exercise, obviously. Mm-hmm. inputting mental input. You know, reading, seeing plays, cinema, theatre, TV. I do actually watch a hell of a lot of television, and. You know, just anything creative. Right, I'm writing, God knows what that will turn out like. I just think being positive and just always, you know, just putting, I think input is incredibly important.
And what's the longest period that you've had to endure being out of work?
It was 2 years, but I was at school, so it was fine. You know, I mean, it was slightly demoralizing, obviously, but I was doing my A-levels, so it was right. I was going through a really like sort of partying phase as well, so it didn't really matter. I dyed my hair bright blonde. I mean, it was completely uncastable, so it's fine. But
when you say you had your hair blonde and you were uncastable, do you live your life? Do you make life decisions based on castability in terms of how you look?
I try not to, but I actually think I do.
So what have you not done for fear of not being cast?
I love dyeing my hair, but actually I've dyed my hair recently. It's this colour before a part. I'm not going to say which one, which I'm trying to get at the moment. I mean, I'm going there. I'm doing it. I even cut my hair. Because I've seen some people do it in auditions, and I used to think, sad case. But actually, thought, you know, this is something I really, really, this is a part I really, really want. And I've been auditioning for it for 5 months. And I just thought, do you know what? I don't want there to be a single reason for them not to cast me. I considered getting contact lenses, but I thought that's possibly a bridge too far. So I just thought, no, I'm gonna go for it, and I really enjoy changing my look anyway. So, but I would love to have had like tattoos, maybe, and shaved head and stuff like that. But I always think, oh, maybe for a role,
yeah,
I'll get to like dye my hair pink.
So you think maybe you would look slightly different if you weren't an actor?
I'd probably be a bit, you know, more like edgy.
Fatter.
I don't think I'd be fatter because I just think I'd be like, you know, maybe a bit, you know, a bit more kind of tattooed and pierced, maybe, yeah. A bit more grungy.
I think like that sometimes as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Tattoos.
Would you have longer hair?
I've had long hair when I wasn't an actor, and I'd thought about tattoos since I was about 16.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad I didn't get the ones I wanted back then because I would have regretted them by now.
Really? But yeah, what were you going to get?
Oh, no, let's not make it about me.
No, let's.
This is not what this is about. See what you're doing. Very good.
Yeah, thanks.
Have you got many actor friends?
I do, but not, like, many of my, most of my actor friends, their best friends are all actors. So, like, I'll go to their birthday party and it's just actors, which is quite strange. So, like, my people, I don't hang out on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. Like, I don't see any.
So do you find yourself, normally at this point I would say, you know, do you find yourself competing with actor friends? Do you ever find yourself competing with non-actor friends? Do you ever look at their lives and think?
Yeah.
You know, so what kind of things?
Well, like security of, you know, financial security, obviously, and that. And like they just, you know, because they kind of, they're never waiting for anything, which we so are as actors. We're constantly waiting for the next thing. You think, oh, when this and when that, and then, oh, then I'll do this. And when I get my next job, then I'll, you know, get my brace or whatever, you know, then I'll like do my extension or I'll whatever, and then I'll book my holiday. Whereas they have very much more of a kind of like, they know what they're going to do and they can plan shit and like have babies just because they want one and get married just because they know where they're going to be next September. Although I quite like not knowing where I'm going to be. But and then with my actor friends, it's sometimes like I won't, like for, I haven't seen some of my actor friends for some time because I'm like, because I haven't worked, I feel like such a douche. They're like, oh, what are you even doing? It's very like, in anything at the minute. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to see any of my actor friends because I haven't worked for ages.
But do you find yourself then with other actors when they say, what are you doing? Do you kind of, you take the edges off?
I just say, fuck all. My life is a joke. What are you doing?
Are you very honest about that?
Yeah, like part of my humour is being self-deprecating, so that's fine. And if I weren't, people would think I was odd.
So obviously, I was keeping on saying obviously, I've worked out, by the way, doing this, what my tics are.
Oh, God.
Are kind of, obviously, and so.
Okay, so, well, at least it's not...
Obviously, we've kind of... right, that's all three of them.
Good job. Hat trick.
So I apologise to everybody for those. I'm working on it. I'm now aware I'm working on it. How do you define success for you?
People who are just really brilliant at their job.
It's that thing you said already, which is being respected by...
Absolutely. It's just being respected by one's peers. You know, I'm...
Do you think of yourself as successful?
God, no. No, I think of myself as quite lucky. I think I've got quite lucky. And
do any of your actor friends think
no,
of you as successful?
No, I don't think so, no.
You've obviously got some successful actor friends.
Yeah, I do, yeah. They're all quite successful, to be honest.
How is Rafe?
Oh, Rafe's great, yeah, you know.
He's a keen listener. if you could go back to the start of your success with all the benefit of everything you've done in the past
right.
10 years since you kind of made the decision that you were less than 10 years
yeah,
since
yeah,
you
made yeah.
that, I'm going to be an actor.
Yeah.
If you could go back to that moment, is there anything you didn't know then that you would like to be able to tell yourself?
If you are going into something where Americans are involved, don't turn up looking scruffy, eh? I spent a lot of time looking scruffy. Just really, yeah, just be prepared. Just be a lot more prepared. I want to slap my younger self, actually, for some of the jobs I missed out on.
Really?
Yeah, for being underprepared. This is criminal. This is absurd. Yeah, really, really bad. Some things like I hadn't...
So be prepared.
Oh my God, be over-prepared. Be the most prepared person ever. Be over-prepared, you know. Have read the book. Have watched the, you know, old version of the thing. Know everybody involved. Know the producers' names. You know, be ready to, like, know what's on their CV. Know who's already cast. Just know everything that there is to know that you could possibly know about it, so that you go in there, like, you know, just with a bit of an arsenal. You know what the fuck you're doing, as opposed to, like, walking in and being like, hello.
I'll just hope I'm good enough.
I just hope I'm, you know, look right. You know, it's not even about that. Most, you know, you just got to convince them. It's like, people get jobs. Like, Anne Hathaway, there's a good example. You know how many times she tried to get that job in Les Mis, and they said she's too old or she's too young. She was like, absolutely no fucking way, I'm getting this job. She sent in, like, unbelievable numbers of tapes and things like this to the producer. She just, there was no way they weren't going to give it to her.
She was like...
And I totally admire that.
Yeah, of course.
Same with Nicole Kidman. She earned her career. Like, she scratched for that, you know. Impressive.
Do you have any recollection of being offered advice by anybody older than you?
Yes.
That stuck with you?
Yeah. Kind of hurt my feelings, actually.
Go ahead.
Somebody told me once, she said, so an actress, older actress that I really admire, and she said, we're both quite drunk, I think, actually, at the time. We were, like, hanging out after filming, and she was really, really cool, and I really, really respect and still respect and admire her, and I think she's great. But she said to me that I shouldn't be so, in as many words, that I shouldn't be so friendly. And sort of upbeat, and kind of, it's that same thing that haunts me, that dappiness that I often get. She said, you know, you're a really clever girl, you shouldn't, you're not letting people see that. And I just thought, I'm just like, I found that really, really patronising and really annoying. There's a reason I'm doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe she's right, and it just touched a nerve. I just thought, that's annoying. But there is also being female, you know, on a set, and being young, your status is not that high. So I don't know. It's just a coping mechanism for me, anyway.
So one last question.
Yeah.
Actually, two. Second last. I'm a casting director. I'm not. This is a, you know, an imaginary situation. Believe in the imaginary situation.
Okay.
I'm a casting director, and someone mentions you at a casting meeting. What do you imagine they say about you?
Bet you fucking anything they say. Oh, it's just lovely, but a bit dappy.
And finally.
God.
In anything at the minute?
Oh, fuck, no. What am I hanging around with you for?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
And that's it for another fortnight. Don't forget to check out BelfastBoxingFilm.com if only to have a nosy at what I'm doing outside of the podcast, and maybe, you never know, pick up an idea or two for a future crowdfunding campaign you might like to run yourself. Like I said, if you throw a fiver our way, I will give you a mention in the next episode of the podcast, but that perk will only be visible for today. That's Monday the 17th of October. Beyond that, it may make a return, but I'll see how it goes. www.BelfastBoxingFilm.com. That's it from me. Speak to you in a fortnight. Feed up music.